Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. By the way, we want to thank everybody out there for what you did yesterday for WEEI's Giving Tuesday to benefit the Jimmy Fund, all presented by Arbella Insurance. The goal was to hit $1 million, and they went well over it. So to everybody out there who contributed, all the people who participated, we want to thank you very much. You're welcome. And thanks to the Jimmy Fund, because the Jimmy Fund really needed that money right now based on everything that's going on with COVID. All right, to the phone calls we go. Teddy Bruschi will join us at 4:30. Big deal or no big deal, we get some good topics coming up at 3:30. Here's Paul in Rhode Island. Hello, Paul.
Yo.
Yo, Paul.
How are ya?
Dandy.
Sounds like Steve from Ford.
How are you? Good. Okay, listen, the Ford Motor Company, they pay their players very well and their coaches. It took Matt Patricia a year to build that defense. These players, especially this year with the COVID, they get locked in their contracts. The Patriots' privileged players ran over there to Miami. They run to these places where they pay well. Now, everybody, you're going to tell me.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
You're going to tell me what? No.
No, but this isn't baseball. Like, the Red Sox and Yankees pay well and the Dodgers pay well. Like, everybody's got a salary cap, right?
You know very well that the Ford family pays their staff very well.
They don't.
What is your point?
There's no difference.
What is your point? Please get to your point.
My point is they're in that division. That division is horrible.
So?
You have
Green Bay's horrible?
You have Green Bay. You have a
Minnesota's horrible. Minnesota's been in the playoffs. It's the only year that they're struggling.
Threaten
his
job.
Going to still make the playoffs.
I don't know what you're talking about, Paul. First of all, as Lou pointed out, there's a salary cap. Everybody gets to spend the same. Maybe a little bit different from year to year, but over a five-year stretch, the money is all of the same. The Detroit Lions have been underachievers for 50 years. Stop it. We get that. We get that.
You have to understand, this year they had a change in management and
right.
ownership.
Right.
The ham lady, whatever her name is,
right.
okay,
it's the same family,
decided
just,
to make
right.
this decision. It's easier to fire one than hire right. than fire 11. Okay?
Okay, so Matt Patricia does not deserve any blame at all. That's what you're telling me. That's your point, right?
That's my point.
Okay, great. We got to his point.
I would say this.
We were
like, nobody deserves nobody deserves to get fired more than Matt Patricia, other than Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say
yeah,
over the last
say,
couple years in football?
Like, I would
those
say
two guys, how they're still hanging on is beyond me.
Well, you know why Adam Gase is hanging on, because if you want to lose every week, you keep the losing coach, right?
Right. And he's going to do such a good job at it, they're going to pat him on the back and say, hey, thank you very much for losing all of them. You're gone.
Yeah, I think what Detroit did is they fired the coach and the general manager, because once again, they're going to start all over again. That's what the Lions are going to do.
Yeah.
Stop.
The Kyrie Irving situation about 3 hours ago, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
I had a thought on that. It was like this. You guys are right where he says a bunch of stuff and it doesn't make sense, and I think that pisses his teammates off. I think it all goes back to that flat earth thing, which was maybe the one smart thing he ever said, where he was trolling. And he asked the media, why do you guys care what basketball players think about politics and science? Like, if I say the earth is flat, would you care? And then people went around saying, oh, my God, Kyrie Irving thinks the earth is flat. But then after that, he thought everything he said was so beautiful and yes. so brilliant. And I think it really did annoy people. And I don't know about Jaylen Brown being smarter, but I know that when Jaylen Brown makes a point, he's very clear. He's talking about important stuff, social issues. He gets directly to the point. Kyrie just likes to hear himself talk, so they were never going to get along. But last thing, I think unconscious, Jaylen Brown's a little bit jealous because, I'm sorry, he's one of the worst dribblers I've ever seen. Kyrie's probably the best dribbler I've ever seen. I think that's part of it.
Jealousy of his game?
Of just the dribbling factor, the fact that he can dribble really well with his left hand.
I don't think rookies are like jealous of veterans. You know what I mean?
No, I think they look up to those veterans.
Yeah, I think it goes
the
other way around. Like if a rookie came in and had better handle than the 8-year vet, then I think the guy might sit there and say, yeah, well, his handle's not that good, right? Not better than mine. But the other way around, nah, I don't see it. But you're right. Yeah. I think that Kyrie Irving thinks he spouts so much wisdom upon everyone in his way.
Stupid wisdom.
Yeah, but you could just see it, Christian. I don't know if you had anybody in your team you ever play with. Everybody just sort of rolls their eyes at him.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Yes. Really?
Whatever. And you just walk away.
So how many times did you see it with Kyrie, with the media around him after the game? And NBC Sports Boston would be doing all of that live. And he'd be pontificating. And they're all like they're really caring and they're nodding with him. And I'm sitting
there
going,
they thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, my God. He's so brilliant. Things he says. Oh, today, don't you miss the idea? Wouldn't you love to hear what Kyrie thinks about the metal monolith that's now missing in Utah and it shows up in Romania? Oh,
still weird. Yeah. I want to get to that at some point.
Yeah, okay, we can get to it. Here's Mike in Malden. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Actually, first I have a question for you, Christian, and you, Lou, as former members of unions and major league athletes. How angry would you be at Tyrod Taylor for not filing a grievance against the Los Angeles Chargers? What a terrible!
Shocked that he didn't do that.
How do you know that he's got time to?
His time passed.
He missed. He had
60 days. They're not going to be filing a grievance. This is a guy that basically lost his job, right? I mean, granted, he's probably still. I don't know if he had incentives as far as starts, snaps.
I mean,
there's no way Herbert would have started there in week two.
No, not only did he lose his job, they were going to commit to him long term, right? And that offense has a lot of talent on it. So let's just say, hypothetically, he goes out, he looks pretty good, right? And then he becomes a free agent, and there are teams that are going to be looking for quarterbacks next year. He also lost an opportunity for a next contract. He brought the Bills to the playoffs, so it's not like he's a joke QB.
It's a great point. I hate to say it and you know, acting in a real selfish manner, but you're right. If you're looking at the individual, if he wanted to make a score right now, this was the way of actually doing it, because they did harm to his career, not just this year, but in the future.
Nobody's
going to pay him.
It's interesting. I just wondered, okay, did he think the best opportunity for him to stay in the league is to not rock the boat?
Probably.
Not to show that
probably.
He's vindictive and litigious.
Okay, yeah, but
like, I
understand that, but we've seen it in the past. We saw what five games of Teddy Bridgewater got him. And to put Tyrod Taylor in the same class, like, we saw what's going on here with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick showed early in the year when the Miami Dolphins were winning football games before they just decided because it was time to move on from Tua? Don't you think during that time teams looked at Ryan Fitzpatrick and said, yeah, I mean, personally, I'm sitting here saying if the Patriots draft a young quarterback, I want them to go get Ryan Fitzpatrick and almost play that same role for this guy. So Tyrod Taylor's like just forgotten. You know what I mean? He lost that opportunity to kind of go out there and maybe give you four or five games like Teddy Bridgewater, or give you five or six, eight games like Ryan Fitzpatrick and maybe set himself up to have a job next year.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it could be as simple as he likes the doctor and he feels like the doctor made an honest mistake. Like, I'm not saying that's something I would do. I'm just trying to figure out why would he do that?
What would you do?
I'm filing a grievance.
Absolutely. Listen, I have respect.
That's what they're there for.
You're right. It probably was. He liked the doctor. He felt bad. The doctor made could we call it an honest mistake? I guess you could, even though that's a pretty big mistake to shoot him up in the lungs. But I would say this, that if I'm him, I'm sitting there going, where's my future now? What am I going to make? What is he going to make next year? What is he going
to
make at best? $6 million?
To be honest
$8 million?
With you, based on the way that things are going for the Chargers right now,
Tyrod Taylor would have lost his job anyways.
Sure.
Justin Herbert would have been there.
But what
so
if he
I don't know
like
how much harm is actually done to him. I think he's still respected in the league. I still think he's more respected and probably teams feel more confident in him as being a backup than they do Cam Newton, if you want to sit there and compare it. I think he's got more tread on the tires than Cam Newton does.
Yeah, I still think teams might be interested in him. But again, you know, look what Teddy Bridgewater did for himself. Look at that massive deal he got in Carolina. Why? Because he started five games for the Saints.
Yep.
So what if he starts the first five games and the team goes 3-2? And then you know what? Maybe he gets an injury and Herbert takes over. He never sees it again. And people have those first five games in their memory and say, yep, he's a guy I want to go after. Or again, like I said, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know. I think that he showed himself this year to kind of be like, all right, he can play backup on any team.
And here's the other thing, Lou. Because I'm
lost
just trying
an opportunity.
I'm just trying to get into his head and trying to figure out why he wouldn't do it. The thing is like, any if so, he's a free agent and teams are going, oh, this guy's a troublemaker. I'm like, no, listen, the dude was getting injected so he could play. Like, he was sacrificing his body so he could play. The stupid doctor screwed it up. So this isn't like some guy like trying to take advantage of a situation. He legitimately was hurt, badly. Like, this is like a malpractice. If this is a guy that's just laying bricks and that's his doctor, this is malpractice all over again.
Malpractice. If they did, this happened just before a game.
Yes.
If they had not noticed it a half an hour, 45 minutes before the game, because the change was made right at the start of the game, if that wasn't made, he could have been killed out there.
It's that's my point. So
it's a gigantic win in a lawsuit, I would think.
You get the injection. You go out and you start running around. You're like, God, I can't catch my breath.
Right.
Oh yeah, because you have like four holes in your lungs. That's why. Yeah, it is interesting, but I don't know. Maybe
so
he's just a really nice
guy.
Deal.
He gets $5 million base. He signed a 2-year, $11 million deal with these guys. So $5 million base. There's really nothing tied into incentives. So he's going to get that. But again, next year, I still think he'll live in that range. You know, I still think he can find a job. Again, like, he'd be one of the guys that if the Patriots go and they draft a rookie in the first round, he'd be one of those guys on that list, that short list of guys you'd want to bring in kind of behind him, right?
He's a better quarterback than Cam Newton is.
And he can run.
Yeah.
He can run. He can. I mean, that is it.
Glenn, can he run?
Yeah, he can run. Thank you very much. And he can run. And that's what you need right now in that league. You need somebody who can run and throw the ball. So, I think he throws the ball better. Don't you think he throws the ball better than Cam Newton?
I think he's a better overall quarterback than Cam Newton.
Yeah, but we could come up with a long list of guys.
I know,
who
but
would
you
be
were
better
talking
than
about,
Cam Newton.
But we're talking about guys in a similar situation that are now backups. Guys like Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Nick Foles for a short degree of time. These guys kind of leapfrog throughout the league. They'll end up playing for, you know, nine different teams in like 12 years, 15 years, something like that, where some coordinator is just, I need to sleep at night, so just in case this guy can't do it, go ahead. I mean, that's who these guys are now, and that's a premium. The crazy thing is Cam Newton hasn't established himself as one of those guys. Like, nobody's buying what he's doing right now, so he's never going to be in that category.
Do you notice
his value is always going to be veteran minimum, you got to earn it type thing, where these guys walk into the door as free agents, and then, bam, it's a $5 million. We're going to start there.
So it's interesting. You're seeing a lot of people that thought that Cam Newton was pretty good all falling by the wayside right now. And the only question that you have is Bill Belichick one of those guys? By the end of the season, is Bill Belichick going to move on from Cam Newton? That's the only really question you have.
I would say yes. I've said yes. I said yes 6 weeks ago. He's not – listen, he is who he is. And you can get by with them, but you can't win with them. You can get by, and he's a competitor, and he's not going to rock the boat, and he's not going to go into the tank. And even if he does, he'll pull himself out of it because he's played long enough and he's had enough success that you could figure something out with him. So, no, I don't think he's not going to be around next year. Like, that boat has sailed. If he was playing at a high level, I'd say, wow, man, he's really making a case for another contract.
Yeah, I thought that a lot longer ago than 6 weeks ago. But the other question is, and we keep on talking about, they're not able to tank right now, so they're not going to get one of those top quarterbacks. Does anybody really believe that if they got one of those top quarterbacks, that Bill Belichick, looking at his history, not just at that position, but other positions, would take a rookie, even if he got him somewhere in the first round, and throw him into the fire and be the starting quarterback? I'm not buying it.
Not opening day. I mean, how many really have? Joe Burrow? I mean, Herbert really wasn't either, although you could say he got thrown into the fire. Mahomes certainly didn't. Lamar Jackson didn't. So I don't think right away, but, you know, I think so. You're going to have some kind of veteran bridge guy in here no matter what, right? And you're going to have a little bit more money to spend than $1 million. So, you know, you start looking around at some of these guys. Now, some of them might not be traded. A guy like Sam Darnold might be traded. You know, but there's going to be some of these guys around looking for jobs. Again, the quarterback position is kind of drying up, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, but I think there's going to be some guys out there, Lou, that, you know, that might look at big money. But I don't think Bill's going to attach big money to that position.
What I'm saying is I don't know if there will be. I think the market's kind of drying up. I mean, you've had, you know, three or four guys in this draft that went high that people like that are now starting in this league. Next year, you're going to have another four or five guys that are going to be drafted by four or five teams that need a quarterback. And then there's half the league is totally fine with their quarterback. And then, you know, so honestly, they're really still, even like, you know, last year we talked about who really needs a quarterback in the offseason in that free agency. And you said, well, Jacksonville, Washington, and New England. And I expect Jacksonville and Washington to go get their quarterback in the draft. So what is the market? Eventually, you just look around. You say, okay, there's these guys like a Sam Darnold, you know, like a Mitchell Trubisky, the teams are like, we're done with. But a lot of teams, I'm telling you, I don't know how many real openings there are for, say, high-priced free agents to just walk in.
Okay, here's one. Tom Brady. Will he be available at the end of the year? Actually, Mike Lombardi thinks that might be a possibility. We'll get to that next big deal or no big deal coming up at 3:30. Teddy Bruschi at 4:30.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
Who doesn't like fun?
Back to OMF
on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. It was going to be so good for Tom Brady leaving here in New England, going with a 2-year deal down in Tampa Bay, give him a nice little cushion, nice little window. A lot of good, skilled players, a coach that is a player's coach. He just loves the players and talks them up. Well, it's not going so well right now. They're 7-5. They've lost 3 of the last 4. Tom has thrown 7 interceptions in the last 4 games. And according to Mike Lombardi, our buddy, it's time for Tampa to decide. Is it Brady or is it Arians?
So this isn't just a one game, oh, you know, we're not doing very well. Tom Brady against Blitz. Saying that he doesn't read the coverages is really like, come on, seriously. It's Tom f***ing Brady. He knows the coverages. Like, he's seen every coverage. You have a coach, Bruce Arians, who this is his last job. You have a quarterback who's 43, and this is his last team. I think if you're the Glazer family, you got to make a decision at the end of the year. Do we bring Brady back and change coaches? Or do we say, Brady, thank you very much. You're 43 years old. You can't go any further. Bruce, who would you like? Since you're the quarterback whisperer, who do you want to have at quarterback? because this isn't working, and it's not going to work.
The expectations were that this was a Super Bowl team, that they were loaded with talent, and that Brady was going to put them over the top, right?
Yeah, they were 7-9 with Jameis Winston after throwing 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns.
Yes.
Putting the defense in tons of terrible situations. So you figured, hey, wins above replacement, it's at least 5 wins. Brady will at least get you 5 wins more than he got with Jameis Winston. That doesn't seem to be the case. We said it last week before you left. Lou and I talked about this at length. My thing is, he needs to ask to be traded. He needs to find a way to get himself out of that contract. Because the Bruce Arians relationship, his mentality, his philosophy, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Well, let me ask you.
I feel like the longer he stays, it shows me, Lou, that the more he's forcing the issue, and that makes it even worse.
All right, so we talked about before Brady was traded to Tampa. Remember, like, the social media following, they had none.
Yeah.
National games, they had none. So you're the owner of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you got to get rid of one of them. You want to get rid of the guy that puts you on the map, that puts you in national games, televised games, that brings interest to your organization, marketing purposes, you name it. Or do you want to get rid of the coach? Like, because, you know, it's part of it is listening to Bruce Arians talk and not taking the accountability. Sounds to me, it's starting to sound like he's, you know, talking to ownership, talking to management. It's not my fault. Now this new stuff. He's calling his own plays.
Right. This is great.
Isn't that like this, the new thing now? He's calling his own plays. What are you talking about? You know, so it sounds like a guy that is doing exactly that. Yeah, he told we have that with Mike Silver.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know if you have that at all, Ryan, but it sounds like a guy that's trying to save his ass and put the blame on everybody else.
Said that Tom Brady is essentially picking the plays that the Buccaneers run. And I said, picking them during the week, picking them at the line, picking them in the huddle. And he said, all of the above. And it's been that way for a while now. He said, we call what he picks. We just have to get better. And remember, Bruce Arians has coached Peyton Manning. He's coached Ben Roethlisberger. He's very, very comfortable with an intelligent, experienced quarterback having a lot of control.
And I think the timing of comments like that, it tells you a lot. I mean, there's a lot of criticism, right? Rob Ninkovich, for God's sakes, was on TV saying that, you know, Bruce Arians needs to go. That a lot of people talking about how Bruce Arians is forcing his offense on Tom Brady. So now all of a sudden he sits there and tells Mike Silver that, whoa, hold on. Brady's calling all the plays. So if you're ownership, Christian, I ask you, would you trade Tom Brady?
No, move on from Bruce Arians? I don't know. That would be the key. Listen, you keep the superstar.
Yeah.
You keep him.
But you only have him for 1 year, and Arians, he's going to be 44.
Arians isn't exactly the greatest coach of all time. Who cares?
Yeah, but he came back into coaching. It was never going to be a long-term deal. He said, let me go ahead and see if I can make a quick splash, and then I'm getting out again. This is the guy that does not want to coach.
Right.
But listen, he stacked the deck. He got everything he wanted. And let's not act like Bruce Arians. Here's the other thing, Lou. Like Bruce Arians saying, oh, you know, he calls all the plays. Well, listen, you're just as to blame. You wanted him. You wanted an easy fix. You gave him everything he needed, and this was the last piece to your puzzle.
So
you don't do anything with the defense. That's what Todd Bowles does.
Yeah. So getting back to what Lombardi said, what I could see the Glazers doing is moving Arians out of there and going for somebody like Josh McDaniels, sitting there saying, I now have a comfortable guy who understands what Brady's system is. And we'll go with him. But if you're Josh McDaniels, do you do that? Do you go there knowing that you only are going to have Brady for 1 year? And by the way, if he actually really churns to the chronological age of 44 next year and he fails miserably, how does it make you look?
Listen, this is not Barry Switzer coming in and taking over for Jimmy Johnson with a team that knew how to win, won a Super Bowl, and you just come in and you stay out of the way. You keep the coordinators, you keep everything.
No, the culture
is
a mess.
This is not that situation. I would say if I'm Tom Brady, this is the last thing I would want big brother Josh McDaniels coming in to save the day. They got to figure it out with the guys that they have, because I think it makes them look worse. I think it looks Brady look much worse if he somehow tries to politic and figure out a way to get Josh McDaniels in. Because I would tell you the rest of the guys on the team will be like, well, what is this guy? What else does this guy need? I mean, we've been adjusting to him. We've been compromising. We've been working. We've been doing everything he tells us to do. Is it my fault that he overthrows me? Is it my fault that he throws another interception? Like, what else do you – listen, figure it out. This is something that they should be able to work out. The fact that they're not and they still kind of stumble around with it, part of it could be that they're kind of off. The other part could be they played some good teams and they had one stinker.
Yeah, one stinker. Listen, I still think it's whatever. People are so emotional when it comes to Tampa Bay Bucks.
Suddenly.
I mean, it really is. It's outrageous, and they have a good chance of being 11-5, being in the postseason. We'll see. And I don't know if – I mean, I know there was some talk, and there's always going to be some people that felt like they were going to be in the Super Bowl and possibly have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Christian,
maybe. You
MVP,
thought that.
Comeback player.
I didn't.
So what do you mean? He's every single thing. I do think that they will figure it out. That they will.
I'm not sure they're going to figure it out.
Listen, even if they're 10-6.
Imagine if they don't make the playoffs.
If they're 11-5.
Let's say they don't make the playoffs. Can you imagine what a disaster that is? Then Lombardi is going to be 100% correct. You cannot bring both of those guys back if they don't make the playoffs.
No, you can excuse it away, Glenn. You can excuse it away.
How?
No practice, wrong philosophy. Please. You know, guys got hurt, signed the wrong players. You can explain it away.
No, listen. I think they're going to make the playoffs because they still got like a 2-game cushion, I believe, for a wild card. Game and a half, and their schedule is nothing down the stretch. I mean, even if they go 2-2, and they're sitting at 9-7, I still think that's going to be good enough to get in. But I go back to when he went there, and I think he went back there to kind of he went there to have some weapons around him to throw up some good numbers. To show people he can still play quarterback, it's probably not going as planned because he's having a good year and he's getting shredded. You know, but the reality is that this Tampa Bay team hasn't been in the playoffs since 2007. And they lost a wild card. They lost a wild card in 2005. They haven't won a playoff game since 2002.
Yeah, I don't think you can write it off, though, if they don't make the playoffs this year, guys.
I think they make the playoffs. And if that's the case, you know, I know what the expectations were, but you're trying to bring excitement to a fan base, and I think that's exactly what you've done. If you go to the postseason for the first time in 13 years, right? So maybe they don't win the Super Bowl. But again, I think Tom, when he went there, realized it's not easy to win a Super Bowl. I know he's won a bunch here, but he's also seen how hard it is with great teams and how everything's got to play out perfectly. So go somewhere where you can take a team that hasn't been in the postseason in a while, bring them to the playoffs, put up some good personal numbers, and show you can still play this game.
Yeah, I'm disagreeing.
He's accomplishing what he wants.
I'm going to totally disagree. I think this is going to be a disaster if they don't make the playoffs. And by the way, what looked like an easy schedule on the back end is suddenly not now, because they have to play the Vikings, who have won 4 of their last 5. The Falcons fired their coach, and suddenly they're winning. They've won 3 of their last 4. They just destroyed the Raiders, right, out there in Vegas. And, you know, the way they're playing right now, who the hell knows? And Detroit has fired their coach. Maybe they come up with a big win. I think there's a possibility that this thing could just fold in the last 4 games. And if it does, I think it's a complete disaster. I don't think anybody in Tampa Bay is going to look at it and say, well, we almost made the playoffs.
No, never said that. Obviously, if they don't make the playoffs, it'll be a disaster. But if they make the playoffs, it's a success.
I'm not sure it is, Lou. If they lose the first game, if they're bottom seed and they lose that first game, I'm not sure that's going to be a success. I don't see how you could deem it a success when you go out and you get Tom Brady and you've got all of that talent on that team. Big deal or no big deal, it is coming up next an hour from now. Teddy Bruschi right here on OMF.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get social on Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
You got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
How about this jam, huh? Anybody moving in back and forth for this?
Yeah.
Look at Lou. Look at Lou coming to the party late. Look at Lou. Isn't it funny kind of be able to watch Lou kind
Who's
of fart around?
Who's got construction going on in the house?
He's yelling and screaming at the guys that are installing his
like
granite
general
countertops.
General contractor and broadcaster.
Yeah, look at him. Look at him.
Oh, my dog snuck in here.
You and your damn dog. Oh. Put that dog down. I'm kidding.
Oh, stop it.
I'm kidding.
Oh, God. Here's the text line. All right. Lighting up.
All right. So, listen. Do you guys know who Kirk Herbstreit is?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. So, if anyone who's listening who doesn't know Kirk Herbstreit, former Ohio State quarterback who's now the, you know, college game day analyst, the number one play-by-play guy for ESPN doing college football. He's their number one guy. So, the other day, last night, during ESPN's college football playoff rankings, he kind of stepped in it a little bit. He kind of stepped in it a little bit when he floated this conspiracy that Michigan, the University of Michigan, would use COVID-19 to avoid playing his alma mater, Ohio State.
I'm just saying, we live in such a strange world that I've talked to a lot of coaches around the country that have said they really feel teams are opting out to avoid playing games because they don't want to get humiliated. They don't want to get they don't want to lose with the team that they have. They don't necessarily have too many COVID positives. They just don't want to have to take the field with the team they have and go get embarrassed. So they're basically waving the white flag and saying we can't play.
Okay, so let me, just a quick background. Okay, so obviously Kirk Herbstreit went to the Ohio State University as
Lives
a quarterback.
In
Their hated rivalry is the University of Michigan. Now, here's the key part. So Ohio State has two games left.
Yep.
Okay, they've already played four games. They're 4-0. They're number four in the country right now. But the Wolverines, by not playing against the Buckeyes, what is it, December 12th, would mean that they would have three canceled games for Ohio State and prevent Ohio State from being eligible for the Big Ten title game. Big deal or no big deal?
I would say it's a big deal. I mean, you know, and I've seen this before, like people now talking about the championship, right? And if Ohio State only plays five games, can you put them in the top five? So if a team like Michigan sits there and says, you know what, we don't want to play because we don't want to be embarrassed, and Ohio State was one of the best teams in the country, can't play, or won't go to the Final Four, then I think that sucks. I mean, I think if that team is they're good enough to play for a national title, they should be able to play six games and not like not play or only play five because Michigan doesn't want to go out and get freaking embarrassed on the football field. Like,
what do you think about the other team?
Well, Michigan, Glenn,
by the way, has already had to cancel their game this week against Maryland. So for the first time in the history, the University of Michigan, they will have not won a single home game. I thought we were talking about Kirk Herbstreit and what he said, because what he said is no big deal. I think that's his opinion, and I think it's a logical opinion.
No, I think it's you know why? Because you're right. To me, it is a big deal, Glenn, because he's sticking it to Michigan. That is what he's doing. He doesn't like Michigan. He has to act like he's impartial when he calls the games, but he doesn't like them, and he wants them to lose. And Michigan, knowing this, and he knows that Michigan wants to somehow stick it to Ohio State because Michigan sucks, guys. They're 2-4. I mean, they're getting beat by everybody.
Jim Harbaugh is going to be the coach of the Jets next year.
So I do think this is a big deal. Just for the fact that Michigan knows that they can't physically beat Ohio State, so the only way to kind of give them the business is to avoid playing them so they can't have six games, thus playing the Big Ten Championship. But it gets worse, because this is what bugs me more than anything. When a guy gives his opinion, and he just gives an honest opinion, and somehow he feels like he has to apologize, that's what Kirk Herbstreit did.
No. Made some comments about Michigan, about the potential of them waving a white flag and intentionally trying to avoid playing Ohio State by just saying, hey, we have too many cases and we're going to opt out. I have no business at all saying that. I have no evidence of that. It was completely unfair to the University of Michigan, to Jim Harbaugh, to his players and coaches. And I just want to apologize. Again, I did not mean to insinuate. I have no evidence at all that Michigan right now, they're trying to do the best they can of trying to cover and contain a virus from spreading on that roster. I misspoke. I'm apologizing. I think I was more just trying to say this is happening around the country. We're seeing that.
He's so full of crap.
He isn't. I'll tell you why.
How is he not?
He isn't. Because you guys are being real naive. You know how the broadcasting world works right now. So ESPN called him out, called him up and said, what the bleep are you doing? We have a business relationship with the Big Ten. You can't say something like that. It's 2020, guys. You can't have an opinion that ruffles feathers anymore.
When you think that, like, listen, yeah.
He didn't do that in his own, Lou. He did not do that in his own.
Well, the apology was not in his own.
He forced into that. He was forced into
that. I think the apology is a big deal. The fact that he felt like he needed to apologize by talking about what's going on and potentially giving his opinion what might happen. What the hell is so wrong with that?
He was forced to do it. Come on. We're being naive in the broadcast industry, guys. This happens every single day.
I don't think anyone's fighting you on this thing. I think he was probably forced to do it.
He was forced to do
it. But I think it's a joke that he had to.
What did he say that was so bad?
Nothing.
What did he say that was so bad?
He ruffled feathers with a business arrangement. And that's our business today, unfortunately, guys. You can't give an honest opinion sometimes because people are in upper management are going to get furious about it. And that's what happened. Because, Christian, I think this is outrageous that he had to come and do it. But we all know that's what everybody does now.
Well, the fact is, if he went to University of Washington or Boston College, this would not be an issue.
But
the fact that he went to Ohio State and he doesn't like Ohio State, then the Michigan people were saying, what is this guy doing? We didn't say this.
Exactly.
Hey, we had to cancel our game.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Glenn, you're up for first one on this one. So Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene returned to Patriots practice after spending the last few weeks on injured reserve. Big deal or no big deal?
It's no big deal. I mean, come on. I mean, we've seen it all year long. Has Asiasi done anything? Has Keene done anything? Izzo done anything? I mean, come on. The tight end position has been non-existent. This is not a big deal. What is the over-under for receptions with these two guys on in this game on Sunday? One?
Obviously zero right now because who knows if they're even playing.
Yeah.
I still think it's a big deal because you can we just see what they have? Like, listen, there's a good chance that, yeah, you're right, they may be healthy scratches the rest of the year, but it kind of is a big deal in that you drafted two tight ends to fix your tight end position, hopefully for the future, for the next 4 or 5 years. You haven't seen either one of these guys play. You know, I don't want a redshirt year from these guys. Like, I don't want them sitting out all year. We're going to hear the same stuff about N'Keal Harry that we're going to hear from these guys next year. Young players, when you miss a lot of time, this is what happens. Like, I want to see them out on the football field and either figure it out or you don't. Like, enough. Like, get these guys out there. I don't want the same question marks. I would like to at least see something from these two guys, even if it's just the last game of the year, 6 catches, 60 yards and a touchdown. Just something from them.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lou. This is a big deal. You got 5 games left, and the fact is that you need them. You need these guys. Like, you're running such a generic, boring offense because you just don't have athletic bodies available to you. Like, Ryan Izzo, bless his heart, can only do so much, and I think he's exposed as being polite. So, yes, they need him. If not anything, just to see what they can build on for next year. All right, Lou, you're up first on this one.
All right.
This one. Red Sox trade deadline to tender is at 5 p.m. today. So the deadline for MLB teams to tender 2021 contracts to their arbitration-eligible and pre-arbitration players is Wednesday, that is today, at 8 p.m. tonight Eastern. Any player who is not tendered a contract will become a free agent. Big deal or no big deal?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal because free agency basically begins tonight. Every single team in baseball has been sitting around waiting to see who's going to be offered arbitration and who's going to be non-tendered. And there's going to be a lot of players because baseball is definitely given their season with no fans, only 60 games instead of 162. They got hurt, and I think you're going to see it in the market. And you're going to see good players. You've already seen it. You know, options not picked up. A lot of good players on the market, and teams are sitting around waiting for this list tonight before they really start diving in and going after some players. So I think it's a big deal.
Big deal for the Red Sox because, to use a Patriot word, value will be available tonight. There will be good players at value prices for the Red Sox.
And I'd say one guy to keep an eye on, too, is Matt Barnes. He's projected to make $4.1 million. Relievers, it's a flooded market. Now, you could say it's 1 year at 4.1. Of course you're going to keep him. And I think that they probably do end up tendering this guy, but I could see him tendering. I could see him trading him. I could see him non-tendering him and maybe trying to bring him back at, say, $2 million. Because I don't know what a $4 million reliever looks like. We have no idea with the market right now.
Yeah, I would say that, too. So the guys that are already locked up, so they already signed Rodriguez. So he missed all of last year. So his salary really didn't move at all.
Rafael Devers
will probably be locked up. But other than that, those may be the only guys that they actually end up signing, right?
And Barnes. Yeah, we'll see.
And Barnes. All right, Glenn, you're up next. How about this, guys? How about this? The Revolution, your New England Revolution, Kraft's other team that he never talks about. They're on the verge. They're on the verge of conference finals. They're this Sunday at 3 p.m. versus Columbus. Big deal or no big deal?
This is a big deal.
Hello, Glenn.
This is a big deal.
He had to look up New England Revolution.
Is
that soccer?
That is soccer.
No, that is soccer.
Diego Fagundes.
It's a big deal because the Patriots are not going to win a championship. The Red Sox aren't. I don't believe the Celtics or Bruins. And we've had a long drought here. So there's an opportunity. And here's the other one. They're an eighth seed playing in the Eastern Conference Championship against Columbus on Sunday. Going, by the way, in the second half against the Patriots game. This is a big deal if they go on to win. Big deal.
I told you that last week when we talked about this, and that was before they won their last game, that it is a big deal because the only way, much like, say, BC football, the only way people are going to really kind of pay attention, I know they have their core and people do follow the Revolution, is to kind of go to a MLS Cup, is to go to the finals. And I think you would actually see fans be like, huh, and maybe watch a game. Maybe it hooks another fan or two, you know, or 100 or whatever. So in order for, I think, the Revolution to kind of do anything in this city, yeah, they got to kind of make a run, be in the finals, maybe win the whole thing.
Yeah,
all,
you know
in
what?
In all fairness, though, they've been to the finals, I think. They're like the Buffalo Bills. Haven't they been there like four times?
Been close.
They lose to L.A. Galaxy or whatever.
They've been close a couple times, but they're only two wins away from their first MLS Cup. I'll tell you my hatred, it isn't a big deal because nobody cares. Nobody even knows that they're even playing right now. And my hatred for men's soccer trumps my love for additional championships
soccer
in this city.
Soccer is cool.
So you won't be watching it at 3 o'clock on
no,
Sunday.
No, you know what I will? How about I'll give you a little taste of what it could be like. So if you are thinking of how about a sound of a goal? Huh? How about this? Go ahead, Ryan. Give me a goal.
Gil Andes. A new dawn beckons for New England. Gustavo Bow with the smile of a man who knows that is the clinching goal. And the Revolution are heading towards the conference final.
I did read that he, Bo, and a couple of other guys were injured through a good portion of the season. So maybe that's why they're making a run right now. They're healthy.
I really wish that they would do this Baltimore game, this Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, let that guy who was just calling with that accent, whatever that British accent is. I wish we could have
a new dawn beckons for New England.
All right, Lou, next one. All right, so the Texans wide receiver Will Fuller and cornerback Bradley Roby each suspended 6 games for PEDs.
Yeah.
Big deal, no big deal?
I'm going to say that's a big deal because it's another more evidence. And listen, obviously they're giving stuff out over there, but it's more evidence of what is going on with the Houston Texans and how they are just absolutely lost. And the reason why I say it's a big deal, because in 2019, the Houston Texans hired Brian Cushing to be a strength and conditioning, to work with the strength and conditioning coaches.
That's a pet guy
okay?
if I ever remember.
The same Brian Cushing that played for the Houston Texans, that in 2010 got suspended 4 games for performance-enhancing drugs, right, violating the policy, and then came back in 2017 and was suspended 10 games for a second offense of violating performance-enhancing. The Texans released the player because obviously he's got a problem with performance-enhancing, and then 2 years later, they hire him to work with the strength and conditioning coaches. You have got to be kidding me. How is that even possible?
It's amazing. What do you think, Glenn?
I'm shocked that Lou said that. Lou should know better. This is the NFL. If it were Major League Baseball, this wouldn't be a big deal. It would be a gigantic deal. You know how it works with steroids. Since it's the NFL, it's not a big deal. Will Fuller is a free agent at the end of the season. Anybody think he lost a dollar?
No.
In his negotiation in the offseason,
it's
the NFL.
About
they don't care about steroids.
It's just about hiring Brian Cushing.
That's a different story.
Like the guy's getting steroids. You're right. It's the NFL. Nobody cares. If it was a baseball player, he'd be ruined. He'd have to hide in his basement the rest of his life.
Right.
But it's the NFL. Nobody cares. They all do it.
You know, this is definitely a big deal because just of what you said. So Jack Easterby, what is he doing? What does Jack Easterby do?
Not motivating.
Shouldn't he be monitoring that?
Isn't he
one of the guys? Hey, listen, I'm thinking about hiring Brian Cushing for what? What do you want to hire him for? Player development? No. I want to put him in the weight room. I'm going to put him in the weight room where he can mentor and kind of somehow have something to do with these guys' development. You don't think it's some of these Fuller and this other guy, Roby, asked Brian Cushing? They played with him. Yeah. He was on the team before he was a coach. But you know, this here's the best part about this question. You know the one guy that actually thinks this is a big deal? Former New England Patriot, Denver Bronco, you name it, Aqib Talib.
What's up, baby?
Six games. I was surprised, man. That's definitely that's the, you know, that's not the like the substance abuse. You know what I'm saying? That's the PED side of it, man. So, you know, I quickly, bro, what the f*** is y'all boys doing out there, bro? I hit him quick, man. And situation where, man, they had a guy they was working with, trainer, man, got him on these supplements and they thinking they good. And boop, next thing you know, it's not good, man.
Not good. This guy.
This guy calls games for Fox.
Yeah.
Trust me. Within three weeks, like Herb Street, he will be apologizing for something.
You think so?
Yeah. He'll drop an F-bomb in the telecast.
No question.
That's what I want to listen. So there's your big deal, no big deal.
Love it.
Big deal. And then we got the game started. So it's 0-0 when 11:40 in the first quarter.
Very good. I like the way you give the score.
Yeah, let's play us out, Ryan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.